You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to the William Hill Racing Podcast. We're going to look ahead to Thursday's action on this edition. You'll hear it all live on Racing Radio from 12:25 PM with Ross Briley, Craig Forsyth and Chris Pimlott in the studio. An afternoon of jumps action with National and Cards at Musselburgh, Taunton and Toaster. We've also got evening racing at Chelmsford City on their all-weather polytrack. So plenty to look forward to. My name is Mark Walton and joining me in the studio is Mr. Sean Quinn. How are you, Sean?
Yes, very good, thank you. Mark, how are you doing?
I'm very good indeed. Great weekend coming up with Fighting Fifth Day at Newcastle, of course. Hennessy Day at Newbury. Hennessy meeting coming up because it starts on Friday as well, of course. Real good weekend to look forward to.
It isn't bad, is it?
It's not bad at all.
No, it's one of the real jewels in the winter this weekend, I feel. Of course, the Hennessy, one of the most historic races of the jump season, a proper National Hunt steeplechase. As you say, it's a great meeting now, the Hennessy meeting as well. They've turned it into a good festival of racing. And the card up at Newcastle is good as well. Not only have we got the Fighting Fifth, but they've got a very good supporting card with the likes of the Rehearsal Chase. You've got a decent juvenile hurdle on the card. And there's the French Furs novices hurdle has often thrown up a good horse or two in the past.
Yeah. So that's coming up for the weekend. While we're on the subject of the weekend race, we might as well have a quick look ahead to the Hennessy. Look at the betting for the big race at Newbury on Saturday. Native River 6-1, long time being favourite for the race in the Antipost market as well. Vita de Rock is 8-1, 9-1 Sapphire de Rert, and Tompo 2 is also 9-1, 10-1 Black Lion, 10-1 Smad Place, 16's Outlander, 20-1 Drummer Coup, and Empire of Dirt, 20-1 also for Houblon des Herbeaux, and Theatre Guide, 25-1 bar those. We'll start with Native River, Sean. Made a winning reappearance over hurdles to team up, get Race Fitness on his side for this. This was always the target. And he's got real strong credentials, and you can see why he's at the top of the market.
Yeah, no doubt. He was a very good novice chaser last year, wasn't he? Really turned up at the top table time and time again and competed with credit. He was a winner at this meeting last year. We know he likes Newbury. He won a novice chase on the car, beating on Tompore 2, who, of course, went on to do so well and has to give him weight, actually, this coming weekend. He was third in the Towton novices chase, a below-par run at Wetherby, where he probably just found the heavy ground too soft for him. But he was a Grade 1 winner over fences at Aintree at the Grand National meeting. And as you say, his reappearance run this season 4 weeks ago in the Great Yorkshire Hurdle, a race won by Silsel, was a most satisfactory comeback.
Mm. You mentioned in passing there on Tompo 2, who reopposes. Tom Scudamore will take the ride, of course, teaming up with David Pipe. They won it together 8 years ago, hoping to do the same again. He's obviously got Thistle Crack on the Saturday as well, and he's saying how much he's looking forward to this Saturday, hoping for a big Saturday. You can certainly understand why, can't you? He's not got a bad couple of rides to look forward to there.
No, of course, and Tompo 2, I feel, was probably teed up for that handicap chase at the Cheltenham Festival. He absolutely bolted up, beating a Cheltenham specialist in Hollywell. And whilst his form before that was a little underwhelming, given how good a hurdler he was, I do think the Pipes maybe kept a little bit up their sleeve with Antonpo 2 for the Cheltenham Festival. He, like Native River, made a really pleasing comeback this season in a hurdle race at Aintree. A handicap, he was a winner of that race, and he's going to hold strong credentials, but he is a little bit worse off with one or two horses at the weights than he was, say, during his novice season.
Yeah. If I asked you for a pick right now, who would you go with?
Purely at the prices, I'd have to be with Black Lion.
Yeah.
I think 10-1, nearly double the price of Native River, is just too big about Black Lion. He made a really pleasing comeback in the Charlie Hall chase. That was his first run in a chase outside of novice company, and to be beaten about 8 lengths by the likes of Irish Cavalier, Menorah and Q-Card was a really good run. He was beaten 5 lengths by Q-Card, who all admittedly needed the run, but there's every chance Black Lion could improve for that run as well, Mark. He's a horse who really warmed to his task last year. Don't forget, last season he was beaten on his chasing debut at Chepstow, fell on his second start, and then won third time up. So maybe he's just a little bit of a slow burner each season. And if that's the case, there's every chance he could take his form to another level here in the Hennessy. Don't forget, I mean, he won the Sun Lions Chase at the Cheltenham Festival, showing guts that you'd have to admire in him. He jumped and he kept digging deep. He beat Shane's Hill and more of that in that race. And he's getting weight off Native River and on Tom Portu. But arguably, as a novice, he was every bit as good as them and maybe a little bit better than them.
Yeah. Yeah, so Black Lion then 10-1 in the market. The selection for Sean at this point. A bit of other news to talk about just quickly before we get stuck into Thursday's racing as well. Bit of bad news and good news for Barters Hill, really. He was injured on his chase debut at the open meeting at Cheltenham. He needs surgery, but the noises are that he should hopefully be back next year. So
yeah, let's hope that he comes back as good. Not every horse does after an injury, but he's got the heart of a lion, and that will stand him in good stead when connections are able to get him back into training. A nasty injury. I think he slipped a tendon off his hock.
Yeah.
Which isn't nice, but it's certainly not not curtains with regards to his racing career by any means. And I hope he's comfortable at the moment, and if he's able to make a full recovery and get back to the racecourse, that we see him next season.
Yeah, hopefully so. And Boston Bob, we will see him for a little bit longer, but not in the same way we did before. He's going to take the cross country route, which is interesting. We've seen some high class performers in the past go cross-country chasing, and it does seem to revitalise a few of them. So how do you think Boston Bob will get on?
Yeah, well, it's good that Boston Bob will have a new lease of life, so to speak, and be able to compete still. I believe he's going to run in the colours of Patrick Mullins, so maybe Graham Wiley's either leased him or given him to Patrick and a group of friends for Patrick to enjoy, which is very sporting of the owner. He's a fascinating contender in these cross-country chases. I mean, I'm not a huge cross-country fan. I wouldn't say I delve into the form and look forward to the race. I'm certainly not against it. I know some people are very much anti cross-country races. They play their part in the national hunt racing, but they're just not something that I would admit to being particularly into. So he's going to be interesting, but I won't be counting down the days until Boston Bob makes his reappearance in a cross-country chase.
Yeah, it might not be a popular opinion, but I really do quite like the cross-country races. Balthazar King obviously comes back and does well in them every year, and you kind of latch onto to horses like that and Gardeshan Petra and stuff in the past. Mm. And the novelty of it as well, when you're at the Cheltenham Festival, where you can walk out into the middle of the course and I really enjoyed that.
That's true. I think if you go to Cheltenham and you take the effort to go into the middle of the course and watch them, then you do get to see a different perspective. It is different to watching it on the TV, and probably brings you closer to the action than you might otherwise be, Mark. Mm. So I can fully see that. It's just a personal preference thing, isn't it?
It is. Right, let's leave that there. I think let's move on to Thursday's action. Sean's got four races prepared for us, and we'll get his thoughts next.
William Hill Racing Radio. It's everything to give you the inside track.
Right, let's go through these in chronological order. Just a note as well, we're leaving Musselburgh out of this preview at the moment because there is an inspection on Thursday afternoon, so we're not on Wednesday afternoon rather, so we're not guaranteed racing there. So we're going to look at racing that should go ahead. The 135 at Toaster is the first race we look at, and this is a Class 3 handicap hurdle. It's over the extended 2.5 miles. It's almost 2 miles and 5 furlongs, in fact. 11 of them to go to post here, Sean. Which one do you think comes home from?
Well, I think very good is the horse that we've got to start with, bidding for a hat-trick and a quick-fire hat-trick. He's already got a brace of wins to his name in the month of November, and he's been shrewdly placed to date, you could argue. He won with a penalty at Chepstow last time out, won in good fashion, beating Paddock's Lounge. But because that was a conditional race that he won last time, he gets into this race without a penalty. So, in effect, he's only racing £1 higher than that last run. So, if he's in the same form, he is undoubtedly going to be very hard to beat. His last two wins have come over 2.5 miles or in and around this trip. This trip seems perfect for him, as do conditions. And he's an improving 5-year-old. He's got more to offer. It's just if and when the quick runs catch up with him. Mm. but they mightn't have done so. And I think he's going to be hard to beat. The horse that might give him most to think about is one of the top weights, Vive Le Roi, who's running for Charlie Longs. And Richard Johnson gets back on board this horse for the first time since they teamed up to win a Worcester Bumper in September of 2015. He's only had four starts since, and only two of those have come over hurdles. He won on debut at Bangor in March of this year and didn't run badly a month later when third behind Newsworthy in another novices hurdle. He's given an opening mark of 123. We'll soon find out if that's workable. But I'd imagine he can be competitive off this mark. But I do think very good, can land the hat-trick.
The 145 at Taunton next. This one is a Class 3 Novices Limited Handicap Chase. And we've got eight of them to go to post for this one. The likes of Relentless Dreamer arrives here in pretty good form, or was 130 days ago anyway. We've got Moss on the Mill, who arrives here in winning form. Several of these have hit the frame recently as well, Sean. It's quite a warm little race.
It is a good little race, this 0-2 at 135. And I don't think you could rule out any of these runners conclusively. I think the horse that we'll probably start with is Moss on the Mill, who's in such good form at the moment. Was a winner at Ludlow a fortnight ago, beating by the Boardwalk. The handicap has seen fit to put him up £6, but I don't think that's harsh. That was his first run back over fences, having spent a good while handicap hurdling, and he looked an improved performer, certainly based on what he'd shown over fences in 2014. That was a better showing from Moss of the Mill last time out. So he's sure to give a bold bid for Tom George and Mark Quinlan. Tom George's team continue to go well. Relentless Dreamer just failed to bag a hat-trick of wins when last seen in July in a Stratford handicap chase in a race won by Set List. That was off 1-2-5. He's running off 1-2-8 here. Arguably in a more competitive field. He was running against Summer Jumpers back then. He's a horse whose best form has come on decent ground, so Connections will be hoping that the rains stay away from Taunton, because at the moment it's not forecast to be too bad at all. I think it's good to soft in places. That'll be fine, but further softening of the ground for a Relentless Dreamer would temper enthusiasm. Paul Nichols sends Earth Moves chasing for the first time. Earth Moves was a good third at Sandown on his seasonal reappearance behind Red Infantry, and I think he's an interesting horse now going chasing, this son of Antarctique. I'm going to make him my selection. I think he's a fascinating horse going over the larger obstacles, and he has shown decent hurdle form over the past 12 months or so.
Earth Moves, the selection for Sean then there. He does seem to like it at Taunton as well, if nothing else, Earth Moves. Let's move on to the 220 next at Taunton. This is a Class 4 handicap hurdle. It's over 2 miles, and we've got a field of 14 of them set to go to post for this one. We'll start, if we may, Sean, with Miracle Cure, who made a winning return last time, and it was a fairly comfortable victory as well, and it's around that time of year where you expect Venetia Williams to start hitting the board.
Yeah, she's had no runners, has she, up until recent weeks, because the ground has been so quick. But it is starting to soften now. And Miracle Cure was a winner on his seasonal reappearance. A winner after a long layoff. He'd been off the track since May of 2015, Mark. That's the one worry with this horse. Will there be anything of the bounce factor with Miracle Cure? And that does worry me a bit, returning to the track so quickly, only a week after that Wincanton win.
So you look elsewhere in the race?
Yeah, I probably would. I thought that the top horse Clickwork is certainly up to winning races off this mark of 115. He was down the field last time out at Ascot, though, a badly beaten favourite at Ascot, so he really needs to bounce back to form. Philip Hobbs has Beau de Brise, who was a faller last time out at Warwick on his handicap debut. He was 9-4 though for that handicap debut, and was backed as if he would show improved form now going to handicapping. And I'd probably take a chance on him under Connor Smith, who I think is good value for his £5 claim in this race. Beau de Brise, he maybe a horse you could back each way, because this is a wide open race, Mark.
Beau de Brise then for Sean there. And the final race we look at is on the all weather at Chelmsford City. 6:25 is the post time, a 6 furlong handicap for the 3-year-olds and older. 14 of them due to go to post for this one. Sean, who'd you like in there?
Well, Gary Moore has Dutch Golden Age, who won 4 weeks ago here at Chelmsford, taking advantage of a falling handicap mark, and won really well to beat Penny Dreadful by 2.5 lengths. If that has done his confidence a bit of good, then Dutch Golden Age might go on and progress from there, but it remains to be seen. Dandy Nichols has got recent winner Manatee Bay travelling down from his northern base, but Manatee Bay has been done no favours with the draw stall, 14 of 14. It's nigh on impossible to win from that wide. Pearl Spectre is a horse who won here at Chelmsford only 3 days ago, over 7 furlongs, drops back to 6. That will be a worry. He travelled well that day, Pearl Spectre, but his recent form is at trips around 7 and a mile, so just whether he'll have the tactical speed to be competitive over 6 furlongs, I'm not sure, but he's been given a kind draw in stall 2. This is really, really open, but King Cole strikes me as a horse who might have more to offer for Robert Cowell and his team. King Cole was a winner on debut here at Chelmsford a year ago. He's only had a couple of runs since. Hasn't been seen since July of this year, but Robert Cowell's got his all-weather performers in good nick. He'd a good winner here at Chelmsford recently with Encore Door, and it's possible that King Cole has been kept with a winter campaign in mind.
Yeah, perfectly possible. King Cole, then, the selection for Sean in the 6:25 at Chelmsford City. As usual, Sean, just a little bit of a quick summary before you go. Did you want to just confirm your selections for us for Thursday?
Sure thing, Mark. In the 1:35 at Toaster, I'm going to side with Very Good, Very Good to land a hat-trick unpenalised, of course, for a recent win at Chepstow. We then go to Taunton for their 1:45, and Earth Moves, making his chasing debut for Paul Nichols, is the one that interests me here. Again at Taunton, they're 2:20. I think this is very, very difficult, but Beau de Brise was a faller at Warwick on his handicap debut. I think this mark of 106, though, could be workable. I'd put him forward as the each-way selection. And then on to a bit of evening action at Chelmsford. We've got a competitive 0-85 sprint, but King Cole is the horse that interests me here. Lightly raced, and of course he is already a winner at Chelmsford.
So those are the selections of Sean Quinn. Thank you very much, Sean, and enjoy it on Thursday.
Cheers, Mark.
Yes, you'll be able to hear Thursday's racing on Racing Radio. 12:25 p.m. is the start time. Ross Briley, Craig Forsyth and Chris Pimlott will be the team in the studio. It's Musselburgh at Taunton and Toaster providing Musselburgh passes the inspection, of course, and Chelmsford City in the evening, so plenty to get stuck into. Do tune in for all of that. Thank you very much for listening to this William Hill Racing podcast, and enjoy Thursday's action.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.